This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, July 4th, 2022. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that pork-eating American lover, Al. Good afternoon, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, and a happy 4th of July to you and yours.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Did you have a good day today? Do any parades?
I did. No, I played some golf. That was good enough.
Yeah, it was. That's a good thing. Hot today, too.
Yep. Yep. Little sweaty, but always good.
Yes. Happy Independence Day to Sue from New Mexico and Bigfoot, our big patriot. And you can go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's got a great blog spot. You can get all kinds of news, and certainly some of the news that we'll be talking about today was the inspiration. The catalyst came from www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, among other places. So first up, PGA News. This past weekend, the John Deere Classic, which is normally held a week before the British Open, was moved up a week, but also is the next to the last tournament to qualify for the famed British Open, the 150th year this year, actually. So a lot's at stake. An American JT Poston shot out of the gate on Thursday and maintained a lead into Sunday's final round. If he wins, he's the first wire-to-wire winner since 1983, I think it was. But on his heels were American Scott Stallings, Emiliano Grillo, and Christian Biedenhout of South Africa. And Grillo, I think, is from – I thought he was from Chile, but that may not be right. Both tied – both Grillo and Biedenhout tied for second place at 18-under, but Poston played steady on Sunday despite back-to-back bogeys on the front nine. After starting out with three straight birdies to open the round, Poston got to the 18th hole with a three-shot lead after a birdie on 17. He piped his drive on 18, the middle of the fairway, hit a nice, comfortable 7-iron to like 21 feet. All he had to do was four-putt to win, but he only needed two, and Poston nestled his putt down to the hole, his first putt, and knocked in his second one. Second putt to give his second PGA Tour victory. He's the first player in 30 years to win wire-to-wire, so I would put it at 1992, actually, not 83. But most of all, which is surprising, JT Poston earns his first trip to the Open And, of course, this year the Open will be played at the infamous St. Andrews Golf Course, the home of golf, as it said. So what a way to earn your first trip to the British Open and get your second win. So it was really – I don't know if you watched any of the tournament, but I thought he played fantastic. Got a little odds in the air during the round on Sunday, though.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be falling apart probably around, what was it, the 10th or 11th hole. He started to waver a little bit, and I thought that he was going to go on tilt, but he kept it together and played steady. It was good to see. Very poised golf, very controlled. I mean, you know, your nerves are got to be just firing on every cylinder.
Oh, my
fantastic.
God, you ain't kidding. Yeah, I mean, talk about every cylinder. I mean, geez. But he held it together, and like you said, you know, this is what he always wanted. He wanted to see how his nerves would hold up under pressure. He was so glad he was in that position, and that was really cool. I got to give him a lot of credit. So that was a nice victory for him. And the big thing is he gets to go to the British Open. That's just freaking awesome. I love it.
Yep. And we can't forget the LIV. They had a tournament as well.
We can forget them.
We can.
Yeah.
Well, let's sit on this for a second.
Okay.
Poston won. He made $1,278,000 for first place.
Yeah.
Guess how much Brandon Grace made for his first place showing at the LIV?
Well, I'm sure it was $4 million because I think that's what their LIV pays now.
$4 million. Now, second, Bezenholt and Grillo each got
$631,900.
Yep. Ortiz, and he got $2.125 million. For third place, Reed and DJ got $1.275 million. Oosthuizen, these are all big names, $975,000. Now, Gutterhup and Stallings tie for fourth. They were at 319. But what's really interesting, Vito, is at the bottom of the leaderboard in the payouts. Now, on the PGA side, the fellas who tied for 67th, guess how much they made?
It's whatever it is. I don't know. Who cares?
$14,910. Last place made $14,697. And then everybody who didn't make the cut made 0.0. Now, on the LIV side, 47th made 122,000. Last place made 120,000. But here's the kicker. On this LIV tournament, they got this thing called team playing, where there's four guys to a team. First place, they get $3 million additional. Divide that by four, whatever that is. Second place, $1.5 million. Divided by four, and the third place gets $500,000 divided by four, which is pretty cool. And I tell you, in my you know, if this has become a job, then you got to go where you're going to get paid more.
Yeah, good for them, because actually what would have happened is in the 95th Irish Open, eight LIV players would have made the cut. So that would have meant that 39 would not have made the cut. And then the John Deere, you would have had five LIV players make the cut, and 42 players wouldn't have made the cut. So good for them. You know, they got the,
I was just comparing numbers. I thought it was, because I had a revelation today as I was playing golf, and I'm thinking, you know what, for these guys, it's a job. They're one injury away, or if they lose their swing, they're done. And you got to. It's a tough world out there. You got to make your money when you can, when you're at the prime of your game, and that's for any professional athlete. So I don't know. You got that element of the game and making your money when you can, because it's not a permanent thing. There's an expiration date, usually. Thinking, you know what? You know, I see why they're going over. And I don't know. I think it's a good thing. I think that they're filling a vacuum. The LIV is filling a vacuum within the PGA. And it is causing a lot of ajna, because nobody likes change, but it is forcing the PGA all of a sudden now to have bigger purses, so maybe they were sitting on too much cash.
Well, the guys that defected to LIV, you know, have pretty much said that he can't win on the PGA Tour anymore or with any frequency. They don't want to deal with cuts anymore. So, you know, they just they sold themselves out, and that's good. Good, God bless them. You know, let them go, and we'll just continue to watch the PGA Tour and watch the real golf instead of 54-hole shotgun scramble start.
I like the scramble shotgun start. Everybody begins and ends at the same time. So there's no weather. There's no weather issues because you get an early morning start. Fronts move in. That's the whole thing. That's a big thing. Shotgun start. Why the hell not? I mean, I don't see anything wrong with the shotgun start when you got a full field. If anything, it levels the playing field.
47.
Yeah.
Oh well.
I'm not
a fan.
Conversation.
I'm not a fan.
A lot of people aren't. A lot of people aren't. That's what makes it so interesting to discuss, I think. So what else is news?
Wimbledon. Looks like Wimbledon is underway. I think what's really cool is you got Djokovic, the men's number one, has made it to the quarterfinals. Nadal, seeded number two, fresh off winning the French Open, advanced to the quarterfinals with his win over Lorenzo Sango on Saturday. 2 days prior, Nadal earned his 307th major victory, passing Martina Navratilova. Djokovic had a more than a solid week himself on Sunday. The Serbian pulled up a 6-2, 4-6, 6-1, 6-2 victory over Tim Van Riphoven, setting up a quarterfinals match with Jannik Sinner. That should be a good match. The win comes on the heels of Djokovic beating Miomir Kecmanovic. So that's going to be a good one. So the women's side, Swiatek lost to Cornet in straight set 6-4, 6-2, was a stunner. Because I believe Swiatek was actually a heavy seed, so it'll be interesting because I think Serena Williams took the court for the first time since 2021 installment of Wimbledon. She'd not played since June when she suffered a hamstring injury, and she had a close match against Harmony Tan, and she won that one 7-5, 1-6, 7-6. After a 3-hour and 11-minute match, so it's going to be interesting to see what happened with her. So I like Wilson.
As Hank would say, Djokovic, sports and politics intersect because he survived the COVID without getting the vaccine, created a lot of problems for him, and now he's playing in the Wimbledon. So good for him.
Yeah,
he's a survivor. He's an unvaccinated survivor.
That guy, you want to talk about being made a poster child by the liberal world order. It's like, oh, my God. He was like, he was going to be banned from humanity for crying out loud.
Oh, I thought they were going to make a gelding out of him. It was really terrible for him.
Yeah, it was, and you know, and that's the other thing with all the side effects going on. I mean, the guy stood firm to his conviction, and he let it all play out. And so, you know, he's back playing pro tennis again as he should, and he's world number one. And we could see a match against Nadal and him again, and it's gonna be interesting because Nadal's really good on clay and grass, so that's gonna be interesting, I think.
Yeah, and I think all that happened, when was it, this year? Like around January, February, March, somewhere in there?
Yeah, the Australian Open,
now,
right?
Yeah, and now what, we're in July, a few months later, and everything has changed. Djokovic, he was right. He didn't need the shot.
And speaking of shots.
Very interesting.
And Sue texted me this. So I'm sure you heard about there was a shooting in Chicago at the 4th of July attack, Highland Park.
Yeah. Yep.
So apparently the shooting left six dead and 24 injured. So the person, we're talking about a white man, but it turns out that the police have identified 22-year-old Robert Bobby E. Cremo as the suspect. He is known to go by stage name Awake the Rapper. He may have driven his 2010 silver Honda Fit. Honda Fit, isn't that an electric car?
I don't know. I've never heard of that one.
So it was a rapper that did it. So is he a mad white rapper?
Is he a Vanilla Ice rapper or a or a black rapper? Because mass shootings used to be a white thing, but now it's a rainbow coalition of mass shootings. So I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
But we haven't heard, so he must be black. I would say he's probably black because we haven't really heard much about him in the news. If it was a white nationalist or a KKK neo-Nazi, it would have been all over the press already.
Well, and that's just it. I'm looking at a picture of him, and so he's a rapper, so he doesn't look black, but he's dressed thug-like. And Awake the Rapper, so I guess that would be, he would probably want to be black, right?
I don't know. I mean, he identifies as black?
Yeah, could be, right?
I don't know. What's his name, Mac the Rapper?
No, his name is Awake the Rapper.
Awake?
Awake, yeah.
I'm not woke?
Awake, yeah, A-W-A-K-E, the rapper.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Interesting stage name.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have recommended that for him. Oh, he looks like a white guy. He considers himself a musical artist.
An artist. Oh. Huh. But why did he go to the park? Do you know where that park is? You lived in Chicago. Highland Park? Do you have an idea where that's at?
Well, yeah, when I lived in Chicago, it's one of the suburbs. I don't know it well, but...
Okay. Huh, okay. And then you have another shooting, I guess, in Copenhagen, or in a Danish shopping mall. There's three people were killed. And a number were injured. There's a 22-year-old Danish male is accused of opening fire Sunday afternoon on shoppers on the Fields Mall, a few kilometers south of downtown Copenhagen, was arrested and charged with manslaughter and intent to kill. That was yesterday. So they're not disclosing the identity of the man, other than they keep saying a Danish man. And he was remanded into custody for 24 hours, undergo psychiatric evaluation. So that's kind of the signal that was this a Islamic terrorist? But they're not saying it's terror, no. But you just killed three people and wounded four.
Well, he's definitely a white guy. We can agree on that, right?
Well, I don't know if it's Copenhagen. The Danes have a lot of issue with Islamic migration, that's where what's his name? I can't even think of his name. Went totally blank. We had him on the show, Islamic terrorist who was trained in Copenhagen and went to Yemen.
Agent Storm.
Yeah, that's it, Storm.
Yep, Morton Storm.
Morton Storm, there we go.
Yep. Wrote a book called Agent Storm. He infiltrated he actually was a jihadi and then switched sides.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to follow that story a little bit closer to see how that pans out. In the political news, 82-year-old Democrat Marxist Senator Leahy of Vermont broke his hip after the dinosaur fell at his home in McLean, Virginia. So Leahy is undergoing surgery to repair a hip, his broken hip. 82 years old. I think someone younger than him, a little bit older than him, is I think Dianne Feinstein, who's about 89. All these old white guys in the Senate, I guess in the Democrat Party, it's okay to be white racist and a Marxist. The interesting thing is Leahy is president pro tem of the U.S. Senate. And since this is the 4th of July, a little government lesson, he's actually third in line of the succession for the presidency, right behind Kamala Harris, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and then comes Dinosaur Leahy. So in a little bit of a civic affairs lesson right there, you know, it's not the Senate president. It's actually the Senate pro temp that is in line to become president of the United States. So he's actually third in line after Nancy Pelosi.
Did not know that.
Of the House. Yeah. I thought that was interesting. I know, right?
I don't like Leahy. He's a Marxist through and through.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Like a lifelong career politician who hides himself under the banner of the destructive Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's as bad as Bernie Sanders. That's the thing. I get you. I did see the JFK Award. Did you see that?
No, I missed it.
Well, there's five people that were nominated, or six that were nominated for the JFK Freedom Medal of Freedom Award, and Liz Cheney is on that. So she's doing so bad in Wyoming that they had to put her up for the Medal of Freedom Award. You know, even after she pranced out Cassidy, what's her name, to lie at the January 6th hearings. I mean, this is how bad the cabal in D.C. is.
Give her a JFK award. That's a joke.
It really is. It really is.
They even hired a producer from NBC, I believe, to
ABC.
Help with the optics. Hmm?
ABC.
Was it ABC? NBC?
Yeah.
ABC. Thanks for the correction. Yeah, from ABC to help them produce the hearings. I've never heard of that.
I mean, doesn't that tell you something right there? I mean, doesn't that tell you? Yeah. What does it tell you? What did you take from that? When you hear something like that happening?
Well, when I heard that for the first time, I was like, you got to be kidding me. That can't be true. So I looked it up, and sure enough, it's true. And I'm like, okay, so now we've got an independent news service, ABC, supposed to be independent, is now a voice piece for the Democrats.
Yeah, right.
So they're not unbiased. They are an arm of the Democrat Marxist Party. And that was very troubling because we need an independent press. And then I'm like, okay, all right, that's bad enough. But then these hearings, they have to hire a TV producer and make this like a TV show to make it interesting for we the public. That means they have nothing there, and they've got to dress it up and manufacture interest in these hearings. That means that they know that they're all there's nothing there. It's all hot air, and they're just trying to manufacture anything and everything to keep Trump from running in the next election and to destroy Trump. That's all that this is about. That's what I concluded.
That's a really good conclusion. You know, first of all, the Watergate hearings, okay? You go back to 1973, they didn't get network news to produce that hearing. It was a Senate hearing. It was live. It was the Senate, the United States Senate, conducting the hearings, and you watched it. There was no TV production. But now everything's TV produced. So the DNC is now the state media control. That's what they are controlling, the state media. The state media is ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS, the NPR, the National Propaganda Radio, And you've got the MSNBC. All of this is now state-run media, you know. And you have the Democrat Party, okay, because basically that's what the January 6th committee is, the Democrat Party. They prance out this case, Cassidy Hutchinson, who absolutely talks in the, you know, with a third-person knowledge. I heard from, this one told me, you know, and in the court of law, because, you know, the Democrat, destructive Democrat Party is so concerned about the rule of law, what would they have done? They would have required to have cross-examination, okay? And now I'm reading some Republican, you know, hounds out there talking about, well, the Republicans missed an opportunity to cross-examine. Excuse me, the Republicans weren't allowed to cross-examine. You know, when are you going to get your head out of your ass, okay? I know you don't like Donald Trump, but this is a one-way lynch mob, okay? You know, the, Nancy Pelosi did not allow anybody who was pro-Trump to be on that committee. And if it was truly a bipartisan commission, okay, we would start looking into everything and every facet of things. But, you know, now this broad comes out, Cassidy Hutchinson, and she gives her statement in a third party on all hearsay. Since when has hearsay ever been allowed? Since when has the opposing party not been allowed to cross-examine a witness? Since when? Since Nancy Pelosi is Speaker of the House, and since Donald Trump is the one that they are trying to destroy. And it's really sad what we're seeing in government today, and especially with today being the 4th of July, you know, 246 years ago, we're talking about the Independence Day, July 4th, 1776, and how the American patriots stood up to, you know, the oppressive British government. And now what we're facing today, a government that is trying to destroy lives, circumvent the U.S. Constitution, and wield power that has not been given to them. And it's unbelievable what we're watching today, especially happening in the United States Supreme Court. I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it. Golly.
It is against the law to lie to Congress or the Senate under U.S. Code Section 1621 and 1001 of Title 18. It covers general perjury and stipulates that anyone who willfully and contrary to such oath states or subscribes to any material matter which he does not believe true is guilty of perjury, and the punishment is a $5,000 fine and up to 5 years in prison. That's serious business. So why the hell isn't the why isn't the establishment Republicans filing charges against this Hutchinson for perjury?
Exactly. Yeah, but the Never Trumpers say this, Al. They say, "Oh well, you know, if it was really true, then those Secret Service officers should come in under oath." You know what? But this commission doesn't want them out there during the broadcast by the DNC. They don't want this. They don't want that told to the American people to show that this person was lying, that she's another one that's set up, just like the one that attacked, you know, Judge Kavanaugh. It's the same scenario.
And the lie is that President Trump attacked his driver saying, "Take me to the Capitol." And then he hit him up by the clavicles and grabbed him. It is so outrageous, and none of it was verifiable. In fact, exact opposite. The principals that were there said it never happened. The person who she said told him this said, "I never told her that." And then a note to the president, she said she wrote, she didn't actually write. So Liz Cheney should have all of those principals up there to contradict her story, because she lied, and then they need to prosecute. But that's not going to happen, because the lie is good enough. Half the country heard the lie of a president out of control attacking his driver, and that's all that they're going to remember. Operation successful.
Right.
Comrade.
And what's the what was the George Conway, Kellyanne Conway's husband took to Twitter after the explosive testimony from Casey Hutchinson lying. He said, he said something like, this was incredible breaking news. It's like, what was it? It was nothing incredible. There was nothing incredible about it, George. Oh, my God. You fucking crap.
How in the world can Kellyanne Conway, a conservative, be married to her husband that's a total outspoken idiot?
Right.
Now, me and my wife, Mrs. Al, we disagree on things occasionally, just like you and I disagree on things. I'm, you know, this LIV, I'm right, you're
wrong.
Less right, but hey. But my wife and I, we disagree on things all the time. But if it was something as serious as this, when you are a political pundit or active at the federal level, and to have those kinds of differences, how can you leave that at the office?
I don't know.
He's a liar. He lies. Kellyanne Conway's husband is promoting a lie that he has to know is a lie. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't either, and I certainly wouldn't want her, you know, as good as she was, I wouldn't want her in my inner circle, honestly.
Yeah, she's compromised. Pillow talk.
I mean, you know, he might be a good dad, and you know, and there's a affection there, okay, but that's, you know, you're on your own now. I mean, you're not coming back into the inner sanctum. he reminded that the Presidential Medal of Freedom is going to be awarded to Megan Rapinoe. Now, I don't know if you know who Megan Rapinoe is, but she was the gay USA soccer player who took a knee, who despises the United States of America, doesn't stand for the flag because it stands for slavery and other garbage that the LGBTQRSC community believes in. The radical and the extreme element, and she's certainly the extreme element. So now she is. Now you've got, you know, Joe Obama is going to award her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You know, someone like that doesn't deserve any type of medal nor of freedom because she doesn't understand what freedom truly stands for. And if it wasn't for the United States of America, she wouldn't have a platform to state that she was gay. Okay, and she wouldn't have been playing on the U.S. team, U.N.'s women's soccer team, and representing the United States of America if America was so oppressive. So spare us your nonsense and your minutia, you know, and now she's going to get some sort of award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. This is how this president continues to disrespect the United States of America. You know, she so despises America. Please move to Russia. Matter of fact, go over and console Brittany Griner, okay, and tell her what freedom is like in America versus how freedom is like in the Soviet Union. I'm sorry, Russia. But nothing's changed in Russia, has it, from the Soviet Union?
No. No, the I didn't know this. It's the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It's the nation's highest civilian honor, presented to individuals who have made exemplary contributions to the prosperity, values, or security of the United States, world peace, or other significant societal, public, or private endeavors. Rapinoe has done none of that. Like you said,
none of that.
Disgrace to the United States of America, taking a knee during our national anthem, disrespecting our great republic.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, how can this woman even be in the on-deck circle for such an award?
Exactly. Great point. It's a slap in the face to the United States of America and to each and every American. It's a slap in the face because she's contributed nothing but sourness. And to sit there and to take a knee, you know, for the Star Spangled Banner, for your national anthem. You know, an opportunity, the freedoms and liberties that the United States of America, you know, affords, and you're going to take a knee. Piss on you. Who cares? It's just, oh, my God. it's un-American. Thank you, iGuy. It's so un-American. And this president continues to reward anti-Americanism. It really does. I mean, basically, when it comes down to it. You know, Only in America could you sit there and prance and wear on your chest that you are gay, and there's no repercussions, none. And you know what? You're treated like a human being. Now go to Iran and wear that same shirt. Go to Russia. Go to Saudi Arabia. Okay, you know, or go to China. Spare us this nonsense. Okay. And again, who nominates? It's the radicals that are inside the Joe Obama administration. That's who it is, Guy. These radical anti-Americans who want us to—they're trying to condition us for this left-wing ideology. And I'm gonna touch on that in a few minutes with regards to the left-wing ideology.
Yeah. Did you know that President Trump issued the Medal of Freedom to Mariano Rivera? In September of 2019. Isn't that great? Edwin Meese, Roger Penske, a great businessman, General Jack Keane, Jim Ryan, Lou Holtz, which I didn't know, and Dan Gable, a great wrestler, Jerry West, Bob Cousy, a lot of athletes, Art Laffer, The Economist, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, people
Miriam
that have
Adelson.
Contributed to society, okay? Like right. Mariana Rivera, who provides for underprivileged children, you know, in Panama and Central America. No one talks about that and how this kid who didn't have money for a pair of shoes nor a glove, okay, drafted by the New York Yankees, and now gives back to, you know, his homeland, gives back to underprivileged children by building, you know, baseball fields. And never has he kneeled for the national anthem in the United States because he was given an opportunity.
Never. Babe Ruth Jr., Antonin Scalia, Roger Staubach. These are some of the great people that President Trump had given the Medal of Freedom. And he's given it to Raponi, Marxist, I hate America, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Disgusting is all I can tell you. I'm disgusted by this news story.
Yeah, and it's the 4th of July. In Supreme Court news, there was another victory and a loss. The victory came with the Supreme Court restricting the power of the EPA. And I thought this was really interesting because the restriction of the EPA is that the Congress, okay, so here is this radical Supreme Court, okay, the radical Supreme Court upholding the United States Constitution. Imagine that, you know, such as Article 1 with regards to Congress. It's Congress that shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, impose and excise, to pay debts and to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposed, excise shall be uniform throughout the United States, not the EPA, the Environmental Protection Organization, not any governmental body imposes laws. So the United States Supreme Court rightly stated and rightly restricted the EPA's abilities to restrict power plant emissions. Any restrictions like that must be raised where? In Congress. In Congress. And so the U.S. Supreme Court held its position on that. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that, Al? I mean, restricting the governmental bodies from making law. Law is not made in the governmental bodies. I mean, this had to go to the Supreme Court. I didn't get it. It's just incredible what we're seeing today. But 4 days ago, the Supreme Court says that Biden can end Trump era, remain in Mexico immigration policy. So So that was a little, that was a blow to the United States sovereignty. But you know, even though the Supreme Court sided with the radical anti-American Biden-Harris administration, the conservatives didn't take to the streets. They didn't burn buildings down. They didn't overturn cars. They didn't protest in the middle of the night in front of the Supreme Court justices' houses. You know, you continue your fight, and you continue to fight this reckless immigration policy that this administration, the Biden-Harris Obama administration, has done. They have sought to erase everything President Trump did, and including when it comes to national security and protecting our borders. John Roberts said in writing for the majority that the relevant immigration statute plainly confers a discretionary authority to return aliens to Mexico during the pendency of their immigration proceedings. The use of the word may in law question, Roberts wrote, makes clear that contiguous territory return is a tool that DHS secretary has the authority but not the duty to use. Well, Mayorkas is a chimpanzee for this administration. Mayorkas is one of the worst immigration DHS heads that we've ever had in the short time that DHS has been in existence. Mayorkas is one of the worst, might I say, is the worst DHS secretary we've ever had, ever. This guy is one anti-American, and I'm using that term strongly. Today is July 4th, 2022. Alejandro Mayorkas is the worst DHS Homeland Security Secretary by far. He's a shill.
President Biden just opened the borders even more, which is what his policies to date since he took office have been, is to open the borders because he believes that with the open borders, the flood of illegal immigrants will eventually become Democrat voters, and it will secure Democrat power for the next several decades, if not longer. That's the whole purpose of this. The wait in Mexico was what Trump put into law to keep these illegal aliens in Mexico until they can be processed in the legal manner. Biden just opened the door because all he sees is Democrat voters, and he may be right.
Well, yeah. I mean, look. When it was known that Biden-Harris won the election. You know, look what happened with the caravans. The caravans starting to make its way up north to our U.S. southern borders, and the Biden-Harris Obama administration did nothing. And they did nothing to protect our borders. And it's really and truly sad what we're seeing today with regards to national security on so many levels, from, you know, the stopping the invasion of the United States, stopping the human trafficking, stopping drugs, stopping terrorists from coming through. And this is why it's so important that our southern borders have the necessary security, necessary protections. But apparently when you're living with a globalist who really doesn't care about U.S. sovereignty, this is what you get. You get meaningless slogans and empty sound bites. So,
well, this is what he wants.
Yeah.
People don't seem to understand Biden's policies are open borders. He is creating open borders because he wants open borders, and he is winning.
Yep. That he is.
He doesn't want to do what's right and what's good for America. He should do this. He should do. He doesn't. He's doing what his policies. The effect is exactly what he wants. He is winning. He doesn't want anything different. He wants this because he wants Democrat voters. He wants the Democrats in power at any cost because the ends justify the means. Forget about ranchers that are under attack. Forget about all the fentanyl coming in and all the negatives that come in with that are along with open borders. Those are justifiable for the grander issue of Democrats remaining in power because they are narcissists who think that they are better than everybody else and they want power at all costs. that to me is what's really happening here, and not enough people are saying it, in my opinion.
We are. That's what we're going to continue to say.
We are. Yeah, we are. We're a lone voice out there in the wilderness. A few others are. But you get on Fox News and all you hear, all the talking bobbleheads are, well, we need to firm up our borders and rebuild the wall, instead of looking at the policies that are being done and why those policies are going into effect, and that this is exactly what President Biden wants. And they have to have President Biden own all of this, all the fentanyl coming over, all the murders, all the death, the cartels raping children at rape trees, and what's happening to these with the cartels and everything that they're doing to these illegal aliens themselves. The I tell you, it's horrific what's happening to them. They're victims.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just commodities. $5,000 a head. They get you over, you get taken back, you get three tries, and then you lose your money. And then if they like you and you're young, they'll take you into a whorehouse and a brothel in upstate New York somewhere, and then they'll pimp you out and make you a sex slave. Male or female, boy or girl, it doesn't matter. It's horrible.
It really is
horrible.
And
they get, yeah, and if they get tired of you, they'll kill you, and nobody's going to say anything about an illegal alien. And the cartels are brutal and nasty. They're threatening our ranchers on the border, where if they even say a word, they're threatened they'll come back and slit their throats. They know exactly who they are. They know their routines. I've heard these stories from sheriffs on the border, Cochise County. That's what President Biden is doing. All because for the idea of power for the next 10, 20 years, Democrat voters. It's really, it's kind of like Giselle Maxwell, the greatest kitty pimp ever. She's in jail, but what happened to her client list? We haven't seen it. Why is that under wraps?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, what names does she have on there that people don't want, they don't want people to see?
Obviously not, but her client list should be front and center public information, just like Hunter's laptop. We're getting bits and pieces of it. Ashley's diary was out there. Ashley Biden.
Oh, my gosh.
There's some salacious stuff in there, too. Horrible things, too, about her abuse as a child.
At the hands of her father.
Yeah. Yeah. She even said taking showers with dad may have been inappropriate. You think?
May? That may have been inappropriate? What was the legal term that Justice Thomas used about? I mean, Justice Roberts said about may, the word may?
Right,
oh
yeah. It gives them the option to close that loophole of keeping these illegal aliens in Mexico so they can be processed. No, we'll just let them in. We'll bus them. We'll fly them all over. Never hear from them again, and then maybe they'll come back for their hearings. It's all by design, I tell you. And I'm just looking at the policies. Forget about, there's no conspiracy. This is just policies. Policies have consequences.
Yeah, this
you
is
do
not
A, B is going to happen. Yeah.
And you bring up a very good point, because this is not these aren't policies by accident. These aren't policies that just happened because of. These are policies that they know what the intended outcome is. And you know, Joe, on one hand, they want to say, you know, he's got the experience. He's got 50 years in government. Okay, if he has 50 years in government, then how can this happen unless it was by design? it just doesn't happen.
They should be laying every fentanyl death at the White House doorstep, everyone who's murdered, all these illegal aliens, all of these angel moms and angel fathers who've lost children to illegal aliens. My God, there's hundreds of them.
Agreed. It's disgusting. It's a travesty what we're seeing today. And, you know, look, today is July 4th, 2020, Independence Day, 4th of July. I really do feel patriotic today. And there's one thing that I really liked. There's a couple of items, but, you know, to bring back those days when we had patriotism, which even you could say inside of Hollywood, some comedians, and so Red Skelton came to mind immediately. Red Skelton did a rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance that I think it is so appropriate to play today to bring back some positive news. You know, I'm very sorry we hit you with all this negativism today, but today is the 4th of July. It is a celebration of independence. Here's a little bit of nostalgia of Red Skelton. It's 4 minutes, and his rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance. And I think this is so uplifting, and it's so positive. It's definitely worth playing today.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. And I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands, one nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools, too?
I love Red Skelton. May he rest in peace. That man, I used to remember watching him on Saturday evenings with my parents. Our parents have it on TV, and he did Clem Cadiddle Hopper, which he was famous for. But that was just so profound, what his words, and that Mr. Lasswell, his teacher, was a brilliant man, and there was a sense of patriotism. Certainly, it was following coming out of World War II where that patriotism was felt the most. But he said some things in there: love of country, government is the people, not from the leaders to the people. And there was a sense that he knew that as a representative republic, it was the people that elected the politicians to go to Washington. And unfortunately, I think there's a sense of power that Al talked about earlier with these illegal aliens coming into the United States, and what's the end game with the Democrat Party. It is to establish more Democrat voters in order to keep these narcissists in power. And that's not what our founders wanted. That wasn't the intent of forming the United States of America. It was not the intent, because the United States was not formed as a monarchy. It was formed as a constitutional representative republic. So if you get a chance to watch it on YouTube, it's Red Skelton's Pledge of Allegiance. It's excellent. And for as funny as a man Red Skelton was, he was very patriotic, and secondly, he was very funny. And he loved his country. So God bless the man. I love those guys, Al. I love those comedians. That era where they believed in the United States of America. They believed in the country. They believed in the people. And they had a sense of what America was founded on. Today, you've got a Marxist ideology that is trying to dismantle our constitutional republic. And it's really causing consternation in the country, this split.
Well, our republic, I think our republic will live past this. I think we'll get over this hump.
I hope so. I really do. And you know, what we're watching over these last 18 months is putting things on fast track. You said it, things just don't happen. What we're seeing today just doesn't happen. You know, 246 years after the Second Continental Congress saw to the unanimous adoption of the Declaration of Independence, America has a president of the United States who's actively seeking to undermine our republic with Dopey Joe Obama pledging his allegiance to the liberal world order. And I don't know if you heard this, but you can go to on Thursdays, bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. There's an article in there, and it has to do with liberal world order. And you sit there, liberal world order? You have Joe Biden pledging his allegiance to liberal world order. Now, there's a new phrase that came out. We've heard about the new world order, but now the newest phrase is the liberal world order, and yet another dumb soundbite by Dopey Joe. But these slogans and soundbites are meant to disarm the American people into thinking that Dopey Joe regime cares. Now, here's Brian Deese. This is Dopey Joe Biden's economic advisor. In his own words, okay, it's a 12-second clip. The DNC state news channel CNN was interviewing the Biden's economic advisor, Brian Deese, okay? And this is the latest slogan that proves Dopey Joe and his regime really don't care about we the people. And they have zero intention of reducing gas prices, nor returning America back to the days of being energy independent and the leader of the free world in exporting oil. This is about the future of the liberal world order.
Well, what do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
We have to stand. So what do you say to these people who can't pay or don't want to, who can't afford to pay the $4.85 a gallon for months, let alone years? Well, this is now about the liberal world order, and we must stand firm. We've been sold a bill of goods by the destructive Democrat Party, installing an anti-American global loyalist with no intentions of helping the American people, we the people. Liberal world order, a term now meant to replace the old term, new world order. Let's temper the new world order slogan and supplant the liberal world order, the LWO. LWO is also meant to supplant climate change. See, Americans are growing tired of the empty term climate change, knowing it's a means from the radical left wing in America to confiscate taxpayer money. And confiscating taxpayer money we no longer have thanks to Biden's allegiance to the liberal world order. Extremists in Washington, D.C., including the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, now their plan of raping the American people at the pump has backfired. See, yes, they are now doubling down. You blame Putin, blame the world, blame Germany, blame Russia, blame global climate change, blame Putin, but keep gas prices inflated. Inflated to the point to where inflated gas prices infect just about every facet of the U.S. economy, including agriculture, farming, and grocery prices, to name a few. But now condition the American people to paying higher gas prices, then sucker them in, dangle a carrot, pretending that they care, the government cares, seeking a solution by reducing the $5 gallon gas by 20 cents a gallon for a short period of time, you know, a holiday. Now the time is right to hit Americans with the new term, liberal world order, and then tell the people to stand firm. Stand firm, paying $20, $30, $40 more for each fill-up at the pump. Stand firm in paying 20%, 30%, 40% more for groceries each trip. Stand firm into paying 15 to 20, 30, 50% more for utility costs. Stand firm, America, because dopey Joe Biden is going to do not going to do a damn thing but give his standard lip service and empty promises. Because that's what the Biden-Harris regime does. They've officially abandoned the United States of America. They've abandoned we the people and have thrown their entire support around the liberal world order. Stand firm, people. After Biden's economic advisor, Brian Deese, stated their support for the LWO, the liberal world order, and stand down, remember, this is what he said.
What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
So right after Brian Deese stating that, okay, Brian Deese went on to say, Dopey Joe regime then has the audacity to insult we the people by saying, you have a president and an administration that's going to do everything in its power to blunt those price increases and bring those prices down. That is a flat-out lie. That is a flat-out lie. Lying Biden. You have a president and an administration that is going to do everything in its power to blunt those price increases and bring the prices down after he's told the American people to stand firm for the liberal world order? The Obama-Harris-Obama regime are not going to do everything in their power. In 18 months, Biden-Harris regime did everything in their power to take America off energy independence, and we are paying for it dearly at the pump. We are paying for it dearly for heating oil. We are paying for it dearly at grocery prices. In 18 months, Joe Obama has done everything in his power to ensure Americans will never, ever see gas prices under $2 a gallon ever again. Okay, because Brian D. said, you're going to blunt prices, you're going to blunt increases. Let's be blunt. We will never see $2 a gallon, under $2 a gallon gas again under Joe Obama. You see, dishonesty is Dopey Joe's trademark. Help bring gas prices up to the new liberal world order baseline. This is what Dopey Joe did, $5 a gallon. That is the liberal world order baseline. And remember, it was Granholm, the Secretary of Energy, who stated that, well, Germany and Japan are paying high prices too. The United Kingdom is paying high prices as well. Ah, why did she say that? Because that's the baseline now. The United States of America should suffer along with every other country in the Western Hemisphere because that is part of the liberal world order. Where does that come from, liberal world order? We've never heard that term before, except now at the G7 summit where Dopey Joe was this past week. And then he has the audacity to say they're going to do everything in their power to blunt those price increases. That is a lie. It's one meaningless soundbite after another. America will never see gas prices under $2 a gallon while Biden, Harris, Obama regime are destroying things. Running things. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm. Stand firm in paying higher prices at the pump. Stand firm at paying higher prices at the grocery store. Stand firm to pay higher prices to heat your house and to clothe your children. The claim America has a president and administration that is going to do everything in its power to blunt those increases in price and bring prices down is a lie. Look at the terms Biden uses, blunt. If he really wanted to blunt those prices, he should have had his team in action when gas prices were rapidly rising above $2.50 a gallon and diesel fuel was rising above $3.50 a gallon. But Biden Harris did nothing. We got lip service of blunting. We got lip service of blunting the invasion at the border by illegal aliens. And look, nothing happened. Nothing. Obama threw out a meaningless title, Border Czar, and anointed the vice president with this title. It's nothing more than symbolism over substance with these people. Human trafficking is out of control thanks to the blind, deaf, and dumb Border Czar. Lethal drugs are coming across our borders by the tons. Lethal drugs addicting and killing our children. And the Border Czar remains deaf, dumb, and blind. July 4th. Independence Day, December 16th, 1773, Americans, patriots in Boston, protested by the Sons of Liberty in Boston, Massachusetts, to protest the British Parliament's tax on tea. The following phrase was born, no taxation without representation, including the Stamp Act in America. America seems to have come full circle in just 18 months with a dictator, a monarch in the White House. An old man who speaks tough but means nothing. The wicked man as described in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 19. The wicked man who shuffles his feet and he acts with perversion in his heart and lies. Lies using empty sound bites and meaningless slogans, one after the other. Ladies and gentlemen, America has seemed to come full circle from 1776 to 2022, with American patriots having to deal with an out-of-control and reckless government. Stand firm, because Let's Go Brandon is an empty suit. The Let's Go Brandon administration sold the United States of America out for what is now the liberal world order. You know, that climate change ruse, the United Nations one world government. Stand firm on higher gas prices to support the liberal world order. That is the firm belief of this anti-American Biden-Harris regime, selling out the United States of America for the liberal world order. I mean, the world order for liberal Marxist communist cause. And folks, we stand here today, July 4th, 2022, from 1776 to 2022, 246 years after the shot heard around the world in Concord, Massachusetts. And the president of the United States and his extreme anti-American regime has sold out the United States of America to what is now known as the liberal world order, the LWO. I feel like I'm watching a wrestling, the LWO. In the 21st century, the anti-constitutional radical lunatic left continues to hijack U.S. history and redefining America, such as redefining the U.S. flag and labeling it a symbol of racism and slavery, which is total hogwash. It's bunk. It's junk left-wing science. Our founders could not have said it or written it any better in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator. That is what scares the godless left in the 21st century, the creator. The godless anti-American left has no creator except Earth. They condemn, even ridicule, the majority of Americans who have a belief. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yet these same godless left-wing radicals are legitimized by the revisionists in America, excused by a corrupt media. Unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And today in America, we have a government made up of Democrats, independents, and Republicans who are and have confiscated the very liberties endowed by our Creator, stealing that happiness that makes America the greatest country in the world. I can't believe the new term out there now is liberal world order, and we must stand firm in supporting the liberal world order. This is astonishing what we are hearing today out of this administration.
Well, they just handed the Republicans their commercials now for the next election if they're smart enough to use it. I guarantee you that 90% of the American people do not want higher gas prices, skyrocketing inflation to protect the liberal world order.
Yeah, and what exactly is that? I mean, this is where the media in this country who believes in the left-wing ideology, who believes in the Democrat Party as their Lord and Savior, this is where the DNC state media has lost all credibility. This should be front and center news. What in the world was Joe Biden, and what in the world is the Biden-Harris administration even talking about? And why have they absolutely discarded the American people, we the people, and our country for this liberal world order? What is this liberal world order? Who makes up the liberal world order? What countries are the liberal world order? Does it include the United Nations? Who leads the liberal world order? What in the world is the liberal world order? Oh, my goodness.
Communist indoctrination.
Bingo.
Under different terms. Equality. What is it? Getting your proper pronouns.
Yeah.
Getting no more freedom and liberty.
And that's just it. You know, I really believe, I was talking, my wife was asking the question today about that, and it's like, well, you know, how much have they reduced gas prices? Why are gas prices coming down? Well, you know, Joe Obama said it the other day, you know, giving a convoluted answer to a question and the answer wasn't even for the question, by the way. But he did, when he does have diarrhea of the mouth, you know, he starts disclosing things. So they're releasing 240 million barrels from the Strategic Oil Reserve, okay? So it's a million barrels a day, I believe is what he said. So gas prices have artificially come down as a result of tapping into Strategic Oil Reserves, which President Trump, okay, maintained and actually filled to capacity, right, at what? At $20
yep.
a barrel or less. And now Dopey Joe is releasing all that oil, okay, and further producing possibly another national security threat by releasing this oil as a means of artificially reducing oil, gas prices. And then he talks about a vacation or holiday, okay? So that's the new buzzword with the liberals, holiday. You know, it's meant to, oh, well, we're going to have a holiday, a tax holiday for 3 months. Oh, isn't that funny? Just in time for the elections to be over. So you're going to reduce gas prices by 18 cents a gallon. Again, artificial, smoke and mirrors. And then he asked the states to forego their state taxes on gasoline. So there's another 20 cents. Well, and we know in Pennsylvania, it's like 53 cents a gallon. So you know, here we have artificial means. We have Band-Aids masking the actual problem. And then out of nowhere, out of absolute nowhere, Joe Obama utters the words liberal world order. What in the world does that mean? What exactly, seriously, what does that mean? And where are the pundits? Where are the so-called journalists and newsreaders? Why aren't they asking questions about this? Why aren't they asking questions about what is the liberal world order? All we've known since George H.W. Bush was the New World Order when he uttered it in 1991 or 1990. What the hell is the liberal world order, which just came about this past Thursday? I read it in bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. I believe it was townhall.com. It was what Bigfoot had posted, one of the stories from townhall.com. And I'm intrigued by it. What is liberal world order? Of course, there is no answer. There's no definition. It's just something that has come out. And now Brian Deese, the economic advisor to Dopey Joe, he starts uttering liberal world order. What does that mean? Where in the hell does this come from? You know, 246 years later, July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence is adopted by the Second Congressional Congress. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's in part what was written in the Declaration of Independence, the Second Continental Congress, July 4th, 1776. I mean, among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and you have a government, a tyrannical government, who is seeking to usurp the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the United States of America. For what? For a liberal world order. I'm dumbfounded that nobody's asking questions. Not that you're going to get an answer out of this lack of transparent administration, and certainly Jean LaHaitian, you know, would get up there during a press conference and fumble through her book going, I don't know. You know what? I'm just not going to answer that question. Let's move on. You know, give me a softball question. And they want to talk about transparency? This should scare the hell out of every American out there. Liberal World Order, LWO. That's the new, and if Rona McDaniel is listening, and if Rona McDaniel had the balls, she would start making commercials for each and every candidate that's running for United States House and United States Senate about the liberal world order agenda that the Biden-Harris-Obama regime has sold America out to. This is what they've sold. They have sold their souls. They ridicule Christians. They ridicule Jews. And now they have sold themselves to this liberal world order. I'm absolutely dumbfounded that no one is picking up on this. No one's asking any questions as what the hell do they mean by this term? And forget it, you know, don't accept their vanilla and sugar-coated answer. Don't accept it. There's a reason they use this term, and this is quite dangerous. And have they used it to undermine the United States of America, undermine our sovereignty?
To those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
What does that mean? What future of the liberal world order? What's the plans of the liberal world order? Are we now conditioned now? Is this it? $4.50 a gallon now is going to be the baseline. $5 a gallon is the baseline. And this is what we work off of because Germany and Japan pay high gas prices too. Well, how is it that when we had a 3% unemployment and President Trump in 2019, we had gas prices at $1.90 a gallon? How is that possible? We had the lowest unemployment rate, the highest employment rate we've ever had. More people were working. More people were driving to work. They weren't working from home because the pandemic didn't hit yet. They were working. They were driving to and from work. Gas was at $1.90, $2.05 a gallon, and the economy was humming right along. And suddenly we're at $5 a gallon, and we're going to get a holiday of $0.18 a gallon. and you've got Joe Obama releasing 1 million barrels a day from the Strategic Oil Reserve, compromising our national security, but we have to be beholden to the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Bill Measy thinks that people are stupid because you shut down the pipeline, you shut down the leases, the leases for exploration that are good leases, you stop fracking, and energy prices are going to go up. So President Biden created the problem, and he gives the American people, oh, well, I'll give you 18 cents off of federal taxes on the gas that is so high that I created. Aren't I great? And the people go, oh, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thanks, President Biden. You care. You're trying to bring this down. And he thinks people are that gullible and that stupid. But we're smarter than that. I believe the American people are smarter than that, and they see it.
I hope so, because I'm really curious. I want to know about this liberal world order, and why did this liberal world order term just suddenly appear? This is the first time it's ever been used. We've had New World Order, we had UN, we've had multinational. We've never had the term liberal world order, and now you have Joe Biden has now sold America to the liberal world order is what he's done. That means that he has usurped his right, his oath of office. He has basically discarded his oath of office that he will protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, and he has failed the American people with protecting our borders and allowing an invasion of illegal aliens into the United States of America. And now he's gone on the world stage, okay, and he's proclaimed that America now is beholden to the liberal world order, and we must stand firm. Oh, but hey, by the way, we're going to do everything in our power, okay, to blunt price increases. That is an absolute sham. What a spineless liar. It's an absolute lie. You know, on one hand, we're going to give you this convoluted word, and we're going to speak in hyperbole, and the next word we care. And like you said, Al, oh, look, he's going to reduce the federal gas tax by 18 cents. Oh, but we're at $4-$5 a gallon now. So we're going to $4.88 a gallon. We're going to $4.82 a gallon. We're going to $4.80 a gallon. Wow. In the meantime, you had to see it coming that when diesel fuel was rising faster than my blood pressure was rising fast, and it exceeded $3.50 a gallon, and then it rise above $4 a gallon. You had to have known, Janet Yellen, you had to have known the impact to inflation in America, the impact of pricing of transporting goods in America. You can't be that stupid. You can't be that naive to think that was not going to impact, okay, goods that were being transported around the United States. You can't be that feckless and not know that would happen. I'm sorry. You are an economic advisor. You're the Treasury Secretary. You were also, wasn't she the head of the Fed at one time? She was the chairman of the Fed. And you're telling me that you didn't see that the rising gas prices, specifically diesel fuel, would have an impact on the transportation of goods in America? This administration is so deceptive, and they lack the transparency. And we sit here 246 years later, and now I really do understand. I understand our founders and what they were faced with. I understand what they're faced, but they were faced with a government that was removed, okay, from the colonies, the 13 colonies. But now we have 50 states, and we have a government who's removed from the 50 states in America. And they did it intentionally because these narcissists, and the right word is narcissists, they want power so badly, and they want it retained in Washington, D.C., and now they want power over the people, even though our republic was formed where the people decided who the electorate was. Oh, my goodness. Look what we've done. I mean, look where we've come in 246 years. I am It's we have come full circle, and our founders were brilliant men. They foresaw this, and that's why they wrote this great document, the Declaration of Independence, this great document, the United States Constitution, because they knew that man could screw things up. And boy, did man screw things up, didn't they? All for the quest of power, all to appease the narcissism in these control freaks that are in Washington, D.C., just like the little feckless fraud that's in the White House right now, the liberal world order. Can anybody tell us what the liberal world order is? Can anybody? My goodness gracious. I ran out of water.
I think they let the cat out of the bag. I think it's the advancement of communism, Marxism, and then they just announced it, and nobody seems to care, except for you.
Yeah, you know what? That's you made a great point. They announced it on holiday weekend, where people are distracted by getting together for barbecues and vacationing and not paying attention to the news. And now you've got Brian Deese, the economic advisor to Joe Obama, gets on TV on CNN, and of course he goes on CNN, and nothing's going to be, you know, nothing will be furthered from that interview. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on, Brian. Wait. You just used the term new liberal world order. Where did that come from? Where did Joe Biden establish this term from? And who is the liberal world order? No, and of course, that would not happen on CNN, of course. The DNC makes sure of that. And you're right, Al. You do it on a Thursday or a Friday. You do it on a weekend where people are certainly distracted, and we get no answers. And here you have the Marxists in Washington, D.C. just go on with their power grab. Wow. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party, folks.
No, they keep calling our country a democracy, and for crying out loud, we're a republic. Yeah. We are a constitutional republic. And I was thinking about this today while I was golfing. The Democrats always call this a democracy. Our country mm-hmm. is not a democracy. Our country is a republic, and there's a huge difference. Because mm-hmm. a democracy is 50 plus 1. It's nothing but majority rules, minority zero rights, anarchy wins. Period. End mm-hmm. of story. Republic is majority rules, minority has rights. And that's a huge difference.
Yes.
But and what I came up with is that they don't want to call the country a republic because it's too close to Republicans. And
exactly.
They will never say that. I think I should have thought more about my golf game than all of these dopey thoughts going through my head.
Standing over a 10-foot putt and thinking about, wait a minute, what is this democracy?
No wonder why I shot an 88 today. I deserved it.
Oh, my God. It's just, yeah. And, you know, I think the Federalist had an article about that not too long ago about the reason why the Democrats continue to use the term democracy. They can't use the term republic because republic is too close to the term Republican, and they cannot endorse. And that's why Hillary Rodham Clinton continues to use the term what? Democracy. Nancy Pelosi, democracy. There's another way where Joe Obama was talking about democracy and Nancy Pelosi, democracy. And all the Democrats continue to dumb America down by using the term democracy. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party, for one, and America is not a democracy. We're a representative republic. And they don't want the term Republican because that's too close to the Republican. You nailed it. There you go.
You know, right. Interesting. Just... The Daily Mail had a story on Sunday that the city of Orlando sent out a promotional email that started off with a negative attitude, stating that, quote, a lot of people probably don't want to celebrate our nation right now, and we can't blame them. When there's so much division, hate, and unrest, why on earth would you want to have a party celebrating any of it? And the message continues with the same tone, stating, but in all seriousness, you know in your heart, 4th of July fireworks are amazing, especially when you're standing in 90-degree heat, 100% humidity next to 100,000 of your closest friends. In that moment, something takes over and we all become united in an inexplicable bond. Yes, America is in strife right now, but you know what? We already bought the fireworks. What a snarky, yes. Anti-American, I hate America letter. Memo, whatever you want to call it, email promoting its yearly 4th of July fireworks.
Wait, this is directly from the city of Orlando?
Yeah, from the city of Orlando. And they caught so much grief, the Daily Mail picked it up, and then it went viral, and that they had to put out a mea culpa and apologizing.
Wow.
And if that's here in Orlando, that means that the government of cities throughout America, I would say the majority of our leaders probably hold that same sentiment. And that, to me, was very sobering in this little offbeat news story that kind of got hold in the Daily Mail from little old Orlando, Florida.
Wow. And it met with some consternation, huh? I mean, people were outraged by it, right? Really?
Oh, big time. They had to come back and send out an apology email. We're sorry if you were offended, kind of crap like that, but they still sent it out. They admitted that they screwed up. But I think that's exactly what they believe. That's what the liberal world order is to me. Is that kind of crap? A lot of people don't want to celebrate our nation right now, and we can't blame them. When there's so much division, hate, and unrest, why on earth would you want to have a party celebrating any of it? That, to me, is the liberal world order, or at least an aspect of it.
Well, but I want to know. I mean, you're at a G7 meeting, and where was it held? I can't remember. Was it held in Spain? I can't remember where it was held. But you mentioned this, and why? And where does it come from? You know, how is that established? What is the term supposed to mean? And is this now a cabal, a star chamber, that you formed a secret society at the G7 and collaborated? You know, because remember, Jennifer Granholm, the Secretary of Energy, U.S. Secretary of Energy, she basically scolded the American people. Well, look, you know, the high gas prices, hey, Germany and Japan are paying high gas prices as well. Well, wait a minute. We have nothing to do with Germany and Japan. Oh, and that's a very poor excuse. Basically, you're not doing your job, and you don't have an answer because there is no answer other than it was a direct intention to do what you all did in rising inflation, rising gas prices, rising oil prices. You knew this was going to happen, and the idea was you were going to undo everything Trump did. That's what you did. You undid everything Trump did in order to, one, punish the American people for having the audacity to elect this man. He wouldn't leave. So we threw the kitchen sink at him, and he still didn't leave. And now the prospect of him coming back, you know, in 2024 and having Trump candidates elected to Congress in 2022, we have to find a way to discredit this guy. So now we are going to punish the American people. We're going to punish them economically. We're going to break the American people. And it turns out that people can't afford to drive to work. People having a hard time feeding their families. You know, we have an 80-year-old friend but who we find out that he wasn't eating properly because he was scared that his money was not going to last because of how the prices and grocery prices were rising so bad, and they were and the shelves were empty. We find this out because we notice he's losing weight. Are you sick? You know, so now we have to we cook for the guy, you know, in order so he eats on a regular basis. He was the 80-year-old man is in fear of losing his savings. And this is the fear that was instilled into Americans by this administration intentionally. You know, we had one president who saw the good in America, who saw the excellence of America, who saw America's leadership to the world, and we have another man who is beholden to the world, who like, you know, his previous boss would lead from behind. And now we have this liberal world order, and this is words that are used now by this administration. And what does that mean? And we should really take heed in this new terminology, because it was just coined this past week, last Thursday. And I'm very curious. This is, we all should be very curious. We have a society now that's run by left-wing extremists who intentionally have dumbed America down. They've taken civic affairs. They've taken governmental affairs out of schools. They've taught our kids that Emily has two mommies and Johnny has two daddies, and we're supposed to be accepted by that. And they've taken God out of society, or have attempted to take God out of society. They know nothing of the U.S. Constitution, whether it's the First Amendment, the five components of the First Amendment, or the significance of the Second Amendment. It wasn't about owning a cannon and which you can own, or, you know, hunting deer. They've usurped the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution by denying people their right to a speedy and fair trial. People are still arrested, you know, 18 months later, still incarcerated without having a speedy trial. The Tenth Amendment is being usurped with states' rights. And as soon as the Supreme Court rightly overturns a rule, the Roe rule, okay, Roe v. Wade, and puts it back to the states, the lunatic left wing goes in, has convulsions, and they all start saying, oh, women's rights have been banning abortion. Abortion has not been banned. Okay, abortion has not been banned. And if you want to listen to somebody who really did a nice explanation on this, go to Hank Jones's show, Hank Jones Poly Sports Show, last Wednesday. Okay. That was, I believe it was June the 29th, Wednesday, June 29th. Hank, he had his friend Mike, who clerked for federal judges, and did a really good job articulating the decision by the Supreme Court concerning abortion and putting it back to the states, because the U.S. Constitution never addressed abortion. The U.S. Constitution addresses what? The right to bear arms. It's called the Second Amendment. It's just one after the other with the liberal / Marxist / communist movement in America. The progressive movement has been a cancer, is the pollution of our republic this last 109 years. You can go back to 1865 if you want to go back that long, but certainly since 1913, the pollution of progressive politics has perverted our constitutional republic. And now it's perverted once again, and it's placed on fast track. And it should never have happened. We, the people, have rights. We, the people, are being beat down and suppressed by this tyrannical government who disrespects the United States of America on a daily basis with their climate change ruse, with their liberal world order, with their one world governments. 246 years later, ladies and gentlemen, and we've come full circle, where the government is out of control, just as it was with imposing taxes on tea, stamp tax, government that's out of control. Yet we had a president who believed in America, who believed in American people, who believed that America should lead the world and could lead the world and did lead the world. And in 18 months, that's all been erased. And it's one excuse after another with this administration. Oh, we're the most transparent. No, you're not. No, you're not. Oh, we're going to bring down inflation. No, you aren't, and you haven't. You caused this mess that we're in today. You've caused this record inflation. You've caused these record pricings. You caused the dissension that we're seeing today in America for your narcissistic power. You suppress free speech. You suppress the right to pray. And last week, the U.S. Supreme Court got it right with the decision, 6-3 decision with the coach praying at the 50-yard line. His right to religious freedom had been abridged. And again, the liberals don't care. The New World Order doesn't care. The Marxists don't care about your rights. They can orate it, and you're supposed to believe it. But until you challenge them, and the Supreme Court got it right, your freedom of religion should not be abridged. Your freedom of speech should not be abridged. The right of the people to peaceably assemble should not be abridged. And certainly the right of the people to redress their government for grievances should never be abridged. But the government today wants people submissive. We'll tell you what to think. We'll tell you how to think. We'll tell you you need to get the jab. We'll tell you where you can travel. We'll tell you when you can get up, when you go to bed, when you can retire, when you can stay to work. We'll tell you that. No, that's not what our founders intended. That's not what our founders intended. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which imp them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now the governed must be submissive to the government. That's not what the Declaration of Independence, the way it was written, how it was founded, July 4th, 1776. Now I got nothing else.
Huh. Well.
We got, 14 minutes left? Want to say goodnight to everybody?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot going on still.
All right, go ahead.
The war in Ukraine, for one, did you know it's still going on? I haven't heard it in the news. I haven't even heard it mentioned anywhere. And I'm like, oh, is there still a war going on there? Well, it seems like Ukrainian war fatigue may be setting in because the Russians are killing civilians in Odessa, but nobody seems to really care anymore. And they're using million-dollar missiles, according to a military magazine.
Yeah, I heard that. What was it? I'm trying to think of what it was on National Propaganda Radio about It was Odessa, the town that was near Odessa. Ukrainians took it back from the Russians, and they raised the Ukrainian flag.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear that one.
Yeah, so do you think war fatigue is setting in, people beginning to lose interest, or is it just that the news has lost interest and has moved on to other things?
You know, I think it's a combination of the two. I think people have really become suspect of the Ukrainian war. I think they've become suspect. But then, of course, you have the latest of issues. The Democrats, I do think that the Democrat Party put their hopes in the Russian-Ukraine war to distract from what was happening at home economically. And then it wasn't a distraction anymore. And then, of course, the question started to rise about how much money was being sent, how much taxpayer money is being sent over to the Ukraine in a time when Americans are struggling and we're paying the exorbitant prices at grocery stores, at the pump. You know, again, over and over, I'm sorry to repeat it over and over, but it didn't work. And so now, you know, what is going to work? We blame Putin for the prices. We blame Putin. Again, we did it last week. We blame Putin on the world stage, and it's just not resonating. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have three decisions from the Supreme Court come down, one of them being Roe v. Wade, and it's tugging on the emotional heartstrings of Americans, and that's what the Democrat Party prides itself on, tugging at the heartstrings. Well, the Ukraine didn't work. Watching the war and people getting killed, and then, of course, there's questions about the validity of it and the whole thing. But what does work is Roe v. Wade. And now you have all the chimpanzees on the left side going on Twitter, and women's rights have been taken, and 10-year-olds now, if they get raped, they can't get abortions. And it's certainly not true. It's not true, you know, but that's the idea. So the Democrat Party has to find something to weigh and prey on emotions. And I think that the war didn't work. Russia-Ukraine war didn't work. The economic impact is still overriding. But what can possibly run neck and neck with that are the social issues, and that would be abortion.
Man, I mean, speaking of that, we still don't know who released the brief.
Right? Of course we don't know.
That investigation just went nowhere with a limited number of people that had access and a limited number of people who could have released it.
Exactly. Exactly. Please.
All it is is that the rights go back to the states, as our Constitution says. That's
right.
All. It's not a federal power. It's not part one of the enumerated powers, abortion. So it should have gone to the states 50 years ago, and it took 50 years to right this judicial mistake. So if you believe in our republic, you go, okay, well, now I'll petition my state to do where I want, and if I can get enough people to agree with me, then whatever the people decide is what the state will do regarding abortion. Pretty simple.
I mean, even the liberal icon of the judiciary, of the Supreme Court, which was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, even she had to be honest and state that Roe v. Wade was a poor decision. She even said
mm-hmm.
it.
And, I mean, I'm no constitutional legal scholar, but it seems pretty obvious that it's not a it's not one of the enumerated powers.
Right.
And yet we have three justices who disagreed. So we have three justices who are politically motivated and not motivated by the law as they were appointed to do. Because the judiciary is a separate branch. It's supposed to be separate and equal with the others. And the three of them are supposed to fight for power because they want to keep as much power as they can. But the judiciary is supposed to, at the end of the day, they rule on issues that are popular and unpopular in constitutional law and where it stands. The Constitution tells them how to vote on a particular issue or what position to take. And we learned that three of them are politically motivated. They don't care about the law.
Agreed.
That, to me, was very chilling and scary.
And I'm going to tell you, I think that one of those three Supreme Court justices is responsible for the leaking. And I'm going to go further. I'm not going to name the name, but all I'm going to say is this. When you have a Supreme Court justice who was a law professor at the University of Chicago Law, later at Harvard Law, who served for 4 years in the Clinton administration as associate counsel of the president, then as deputy assistant to the president for domestic policy between 2003 and 2009, she served as dean of Harvard Law. 2009, President Obama nominated her as Solicitor General of the United States and now sits on the Supreme Court. My money is on the leaker emanating from that justice and or that justice's law clerks. That's what I went through every bio and saw the motivation, and it's like, okay, I can see Matt, but then I started reading this bio, and it's like, that's all I needed to know right there. University of Chicago served as the Solicitor General for Obama. That's, there you go. Because Obama has done more to sabotage our government and our rule of law than any other president.
Who could that be? Name that judge.
Name that judge.
Here comes
the judge.
Who's the judge? Vito?
Elena Kagan.
Well,
that's where my money is.
I tell you, it's one of those three, that's for sure.
Yep.
But the Republicans will do nothing to find out. Because I figure, 6-3 decision is done. I'm not going to make a stink about it. Well, I got some NFL news.
Oh, okay.
Bad to worse. It just keeps getting worse and worse. I'm like a ray of sunshine.
There you are.
The NFL's new social justice initiative, led by a rapper who called for violence against Jews and Asians. Well, NFL, the National Football League, taps anti-Semitic rapper to lead social justice initiative. I didn't know the National Football League needed a social justice initiative or someone to lead it or someone who preaches violence against Jews and Asians to lead it. Well, the face of the NFL's newest social justice initiative is an anti-Semitic rapper, not Crema, who shot up Highland Park, but this is an anti-Semitic rapper who, in his songs, called for violence against Jews and Asians. Ice Cube, whose real name is O'Shea Jackson, has in his songs referred to Jewish music producer as a white Jew and cracker, the Asian shopkeepers as little Chinese mother effers. He is also an admirer of Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam leader, who has called
Jews
wicked and compared them to termites. Now Ice Cube will lead the NFL's economic equity program to spur partnerships with black-owned businesses. The partnership is through the rapper's contract with Black America Institute, which supports reparations and affirmative action for secondary schools and colleges. You want more? It keeps going. All right, I'll give you two more paragraphs.
Go ahead.
Ice Cube, who's actually a pretty good actor in, what was he in?
Law and
one
Order.
One of those cop shows. Law and Order.
Law and Order.
He's good in Law and Order. I liked him in Law and Order. But anyway, Ice Cube has an extensive history of anti-Semitic, anti-white, and anti-Asian rhetoric. He came under fire as early as 2020 for a series of social media posts with anti-Semitic tropes and for praising Farrakhan. The Honorable Louis, quote, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan continues to warn America to this very second, and he's labeled one of your evil names, and you turn your ears off, Ice Cube tweeted in June of 2020. The rapper, who has posted photos with Farrakhan, later this month chided CNN anchor Jake Tapper for calling the preacher a vile, anti-LGBTQ, anti-Semitic misogynist. Watch your mouth, Jake, Ice Cube warned Tapper, who is Jewish, is now the head of the NFL's Social Justice Initiative.
Oh, my
now
God.
Now you know why I love college football.
Oh, my God.
I can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. Oh, my God. The NFL,
see,
there's another nail in the coffin.
There's a story for Hank, because that story does intersect sports and politics in a big old way. We got a rapper mass shooter in Illinois, and we got a racist rapper whose social justice initiative of the NFL, the National Football League. Beam me up, Scotty. Get me off of this crazy rock.
Well, listen. We got 2 minutes left, though. Wow. Tomorrow, we got Eric from Kafaris Day with a Cross in the Crescent at 6 p.m. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Hopefully, Hank will stand on this story, the racist rapper. And then Thursday, we have Paul Sutliff and the Sutliffian Report. Paul is also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which you can pick up at, through his website or at Amazon.com. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday, Minister Simon Ducknick and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Fafiristan is back with his interfaith dialogue, and it starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. G-Ski and Dave, please keep G-Ski in your prayers, Airways of America. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and her sidekick, author Curtis Bennett, 1 to 4 p.m. on Fridays on Blog Talk Radio. Check that show out. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Tuesdays. And if you want a break from politics and want a great self-help show, Simone Nicole, Wednesday at 8 p.m. on Spreaker.com, S-P-R-E-K-K-E-R. And then Thursday, Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays at AudreyRusso.com. Thank you, Sue. God bless you guys. Thank you, Bigfoot, Ducky. I guy was in the house. And you all, please be safe out there. Enjoy the rest of your 4th, your Independence Day, and God bless the United States of America.
Adios, amigos, and Ice Cube for the head of the liberal world order.
Oh, my God.
That's all, folks.
The racist rapper is heading the NFL. Oh, my gosh. You can't make that up.
Racist rapper. Black guy, and then we got the shoot 'em up rapper, white guy. The mass murdering rapper.
The mass murdering rapper. Not that that's funny. It's just that, you know, here you have this is something's not right in this world, man. Something's just not right.
Well, you know, I think it may have it sounds corny, but I think it's a lack of civics and a lack of God in the schools. I really do.
100%. I agree with you. You know, as you get older, you start seeing it now. And yeah, I agree 100%. I think this liberal indoctrination is certainly a cancer, and it really, the pollution of progressive politics. And it to me, it harkens back to the progressive movement, which progressive movement then morphed to liberalism. Now it's morphed to social and Marxism and communism.
Yeah.
But it's the pollution of progressive politics. You're right. It's taken civics and government learning out of schools, and it's mm-hmm. really perverted the entire system.
Well, I mean, the first thing that they take out, these Marxists and kind of, the first thing is God, and it's mm-hmm. replaced by them. They are God.
Yes.
They can't have a higher being that your actions have consequences, because now we're humanists and we're nothing but worm food at the very end and there's nothing after. If you think like that, that there are no consequences, then you just do whatever you feel. And it's very dangerous. I don't know.
Just
pontificating.
But you're right, Al. You're right. Look where we've come in 246 years. Look how America has evolved. And, you know, we went from being dependent upon Great Britain to wanting our autonomy. And then from that, you know, you establish a government rule, which is a constitution, to guide America. And, you know, we've come to being an innovator in the world, and we've spawned innovation around the world. And now we're abandoning the very principles that have kept this country, that have built this nation, and have built this great mm-hmm. country.
Yeah, we started getting back to that with President Trump. America First is taking pride in America. And even President Trump was brilliant when he said, yes, America First, but we have to look out for our best interests just as you do, all the other countries. And then a little ding-ding-ding bell went off in these other countries, and it's not like America wants to dominate you. We're just looking out for our interests, and you sure as hell better look out for yours. It's in your best interests. And things seem to chug along a little smoother on the world stage.
It did. And you know, I understand the crassness of Trump. I really do now understand it. I understand why, you know, we have, because there's a certain amount of vitriol that one has over the way that the people are being treated. And Trump didn't stand for it. But when you're attacked on a daily basis and you are undermined, and you know, you can't really put your finger on where it's coming from, but you know where it is. And then you're portrayed as being the bad guy, when in fact, you're the cheerleader for the very country, you know, that has led the way, and then you're being chastised for being that leader, and it just doesn't make sense, man. It doesn't make sense.
No, I was thinking about this today when playing golf. Is it that one broad what the hell's her name, who gave the testimony that Trump grabbed the clavicles of the driver? And
Cassidy Hutchinson.
Hutchinson, okay, yeah, her. Is that she made that outrageous claim, proved false within hours, and yet mm-hmm. it's still maintained. Trump would have had some tweets going, calling her every name in the book, and he would have been 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened, 4 years of these outrageous claims, just to destroy him in the court of public opinion. That's all that it was. This Hutchinson should be a pariah. She should be shunned by the American people, but she's not. And Trump went through this for 4 years, and now he's going through it a year and a half after his presidency.
Yeah, and you know, and people say, "Well, why do you keep bringing this up?" Well, excuse me, but we're not bringing this up. This is being thrust upon us on a daily basis, a year and a half later, and it's still mm-hmm. an issue with you guys, because you do not want this man to come back. That's the end of story. That's all it is. You'll do anything and everything, and you've done anything and everything, and imagine if you had a secret cabal inside of the White House that was run by the president and vice president, and you were spying on, you know, a Democrat, like, oh, I don't know, maybe Richard Nixon did that. You know, he had a party that led a break-in to the Democrat National Committee. And boy,
oh, that little thing called Watergate?
Yeah, you know, Pulitzer Prize winners and all that stuff. And now it's not even a, I mean, that was really bad. But then you make stuff up in order to indict this guy, this president, who did nothing wrong, but it's all fabricated items. Wow. I mean, wow. Wow.
Ponderous.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I learned?
What?
I learned I need to concentrate more on golf and less on things that I can't control. And maybe I'll be a better golfer.
That could be. Practice.
Yeah.
That's easier said than done.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to play tomorrow, and tomorrow's going to be a good day.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a couple of – I'm taking about 4 or 5 days off, so I'm not going to
– Really?
Yeah.
Shoulder?
Just my back, and just I'm just going to take a break. I played 6 days straight, and I'm just going to take a break, step back a bit, and going to get some couple of clubs reshafted and going to try some other stuff out. So.
Cool. Your back? Yeah. You tore your back up?
No, I didn't tear it up. It's definitely it's tired. It's fatigued. Let's just put it that way. I think it's fatigued.
Mm. Yeah, good smart move. Give it a rest. Yeah. If you feel that happening, give it a rest.
Yeah, I think, and it, you know, you definitely taught me that part of it. So I'm going to I'm not going to push the envelope on it, and I'm going to try to play it smart.
Hey, look at you.
I know,
you're
right?
You're growing wise, young man. Strengthen the core. And
yes.
Be good. Core exercises.
Good point. Very good point. I think that's what I probably got a little bit away from. I've been lifting weights and stuff and walking, but I think I abandoned, you know, doing the core work. So I'm going to work on that this week. And just kind of take a little time off.
Well, good. Well, I hope you feel better.
Wow,
and,
thanks.
Good show, as always. Right when you think there's nothing else to talk about, there's more.
The racist rapper of the NFL. That's him. Oh, my God. You can't make this stuff up.
No, I saw this story, and I'm like, got to be kidding me. That's why it got me thinking with your rant on this liberal world order, which is very interesting. I think that stories like this equity and inclusion and all of that stuff, and the LGBT and forcing that lifestyle on everybody, I think that's part of this liberal world order. Remember how the religious right used to be more outspoken about their religious convictions, and they were pummeled in the press as the radical right, the religious right, and they wanted to just take over and turn this country into a religious theocracy. It went even that far.
Yeah.
And they were pilloried, and yet now you've got radical LGBTQIA plus STPs. They're out of this world crazy, and then you got the stuff like this rat NFL Ice Cube racist rapper. I think all that is part of the jigsaw puzzle. I think they're little data points on this liberal world order that you were talking about.
I tell you, man, I am confounded by it. When I was reading that article, Al, I'm thinking, oh my God, where did this come from? And why hasn't there been any more interest? There's been a couple of, I think one congressman and I think one senator, which is Cruz, did address it. But it's like, wait a minute. Wait. Where is everybody? Where is everybody on this issue? This is not.
Do you think it was a mistake and that
no.
He didn't mean to do it and that everybody's just trying to hush it up?
No, I honestly, I don't think it was a mistake. Just listen how, as a matter of fact.
What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
I mean, yeah. This is about the how, as a matter of fact, can Brian Deese be? How much more can he be? I mean, that's kind of like, wow.
It should be. It is kind of wow-ish. Very authoritarian.
Yes. And there was no, think about this. Have you ever, honestly, if you sit back and listen, if you sit back and think about this, I've thought about this entire weekend. I have never, ever heard the phrase liberal world order. Never.
Me either. You're not alone. Me either.
And so why wouldn't you feel that this is something that should not be talked about? Where is this? Where is Joe Obama going with this? Seriously, where is he going with this? I mean, how does this happen? Right? I mean, where does this come from? I'm just, wow. Whoa.
I hope Deuce, now that you mention it, I hope Deuce gets up and asks President Biden, can you please explain to the American people what this liberal world order is? I was looking all over the internet for an easy explanation, and all I got were one-page word salads and nothing that was conclusive. It's like something you can't explain. Maybe I just didn't find the right place, but...
No, you didn't find the right place because it's not there.
I couldn't get an easy explanation until you nailed it and said, "Well, it's communism. That's all." Yeah, that makes perfect sense. But I could not find anywhere on the internet an easy explanation.
Okay, all right, and that was, you sat there and Googled it, and while we were talking, so you couldn't find anything.
No, while you were doing your rant, I'm sitting there piping away trying to say, okay, what the hell is this thing? I don't know. I've never heard of it. Maybe I can add something to your rant. And I'm like, I got nothing.
Yeah.
So I can't read a paragraph of word salad because I don't even understand it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
This is, honestly, it's incredible. I find it's interesting, but it's troubling. And it's troubling because it's like no one's talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to talk. You need to play that clip. We need to mention it every show now for the next 3 months, easy, if not longer.
Well, yeah, because there's no intention of reducing gas prices. Now, we are being conditioned that $5 a gallon is now the benchmark. And you know what? I do equate that to Granholm's comment. Granholm's comments was real simple. When she was asked about the rises in gas prices, what was the flippant response? Well, Germany and Japan are paying high prices too. So I wondered why such a flippant response and, of course, the arrogance of this administration, of these liberals, of these Marxists, is to, why are you questioning me? So now I understand why. If the liberal world order is now the basis, okay, for this cabal, now we have a world benchmark, and that world benchmark is $5 a gallon because Germany and Japan were paying the same prices. So it's okay. So now we're going to lower gas prices by 18 cents a gallon because we're going to give a holiday. And the choice of the word holiday is interesting. Why do you use holiday? Holiday now is to help people deal with it in their frame of mind, right? In the right frame of mind. Holiday. Oh, I go on Christmas holiday. Oh, it's a gift. Holiday's a gift. Ah.
Yeah. Thank you, dear leader.
Yeah. Thank you, dear leader. Yeah.
There's some cynical stuff happening. I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I'm not liking it either. And especially with today being July 4th, and the more, you know, I read the Declaration of Independence, I'm reading some other documents from, you know, the Federalist Papers, and it's like, wow. I mean, we're going to talk about coming full circle in 246 years and how things are being perverted by this administration, by Washington, D.C. is incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, what is it Franklin said? We gave you a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah, if you can keep it, right.
Or something to that effect.
Right. Well, yeah, he said, they asked him what type of government was formed. He said, a republic if you can keep it.
Boy, how can someone 240 some odd years ago be that smart?
Right? That's the intriguing thing. That is the fascinating thing. You know, this afternoon they had the movie 1776 on a movie on the TCM, and I love that movie, and they make John Adams, and they bring them to life. John Adams, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and I mean, they're actors, but they were portraying how they came from, you know, 1776 to writing a constitution and how it was adopted by the 13 colonies, hence the 13 states. And it was just, it's fascinating. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was just, it's one of my favorite movies, you know, especially this time of the year, and to watch it. And it's like, it's funny because you follow the constitution and it's like, wait a minute. I remember that name, Samuel Johnson. I remember that. There it is. And they bring those characters to life. And it's just, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Hell, they didn't have electricity. They read by candlelight.
Yeah.
Ponderous.
Yeah. And Thomas Jefferson wrote the Constitution by hand, an inkwell, using an inkwell pen. Oh, my God, just wow.
Yeah. My father-in-law turns 100 on the 19th. And thinking about that, going back 1922, isn't that amazing?
Oh, it is. Oh, God bless him. Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, that is freaking awesome.
Yeah, really is. It truly is. Damn. All right. Well,
all right.
Something to eat. All right, hey, great show.
Yes, sir, you too, man, and enjoy the rest of your 4th. Sue, you enjoy the rest of the 4th, and we'll talk to you later. Good luck tomorrow.
Yep. Take care of your back.
Well, what do you say to those
families who say,
and may inclusive and equity guide you for the week.
Well, very profound. Thank you. Thank you very much. What was that last one? Sorry.
and F the Jews and Asians.
Oh, my God. Oh,
quoting
my
Ice Cube, of course.
Ice Cube, yeah. What was he? He's the Social Justice Initiative leader for the NFL.
wait, hold on. I'll tell you. I got it right here. Let's see. Where is it? Here. Rapidly, the Social Justice Initiative.
Oh, my God.
That's the Jews and Asians.
That's the Jews and Asians. Oh, gosh. The NFL is just a laughing stock.
I'll email you over the story. It's from Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch.
Oh, good. Please do. Yeah, that's
all right, I'll shoot it over to you. All right, have a good week. Happy 4th.
Thank you. You too. Be good out there. Thanks for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.